Hello, this is Chris Yerkes reading to you from the January 16th edition of the County Chronicle. We'll start with the first page stories. Tuscola City Council. Water rates expected to go up in February by David Porter. As expected, the city of Tuscola is poised to raise water rates following a rate hike that was approved for Illinois American Water, IAW, which supplies Tuscola and Arcola with water from the Mahomet Aquifer. Treasurer Alta Long said IAW was approved for a 13.8% increase in their rates. The increase proposed by the city depends on a resident's usage, she explained. On the low end, consumers can expect a 4% increase, while average users may see a 7.9% increase in their water bills. City Administrator Drew Hull said he hopes the council will pass the increase at its next meeting, January 27th, with new rates going into effect on the February 20th bill. Hull also reported a problem with the city's automated water meter reading system, which caused the city to estimate billing for about 80% of its customers in December 2024. He said the problem has been identified and the city's vendor has replaced the equipment in question. I don't know how permanent a fix it will be, he said. He said he's meeting virtually with the vendor and manufacturer to try to resolve the issue. Several other communities are having the same problem, he said. City staff also told the council to expect proposed changes to the city's building codes. Hull said updates are necessary due to a new state law that mandates that municipal building codes cannot be more than 9 years old. He said the building inspector, Mike Salmon, is reviewing the codes. He expects the new codes to take effect on April 1st. The city's aggregated electric program expires in June. The council authorized Hull to sign a new agreement when the city broker takes bids in February or March. The program provides an alternative rate for electricity for residents that is typically locked in for 2 to 3 years. Residents may opt out of the municipal rate. The program is designed to give residents a stable rate that is hopefully lower than Ameren rate over the life of the contract. Hull said the bids he let are based on market conditions and must be approved the same day as they are let. City is also considering switching the no parking side of Justice Street. Mayor Dan Clay said no parking is allowed on the west side of the street currently, which is where the fire hydrants are located. However, the Postal Service has requested no parking on the east side because that's where the mailboxes are located. Clay said he wants to look at it again before the council takes action. During the bill-paying portion of the meeting, a payment of $3,000 was approved for Woltman Construction for a new maintenance building. Hull said that is a final pay request for the project. Bills totaled $542,000. Long noted that was about $250,000 of that was for the Meadowview Water Main project. The council approved a new firefighter roster. It reflects the removal of paramedic Jesse Lusander, the retirement of Captain Bill Hemmer, and passing of honorary Captain Bill Schweigart. The mayor expressed condolences to Mr. Schweigart's family on behalf of the city. The mayor also gave praise to the street crew for snow removal, which he has said had no hitches. The next article, Arcola School Board approved a Spanish Honor Society by Ben Crane. The Arcola School Board approved a Spanish National Honor Society be installed for high school students in the 10th grade or above. This chapter would allow us to formally recognize students who have demonstrated high achievement in Spanish studies and foster a deeper ongoing interest in Hispanic culture and language, read the proposal to the board. SNHS, also known as Sociedad Honorífica Hispánica, is recognized nationally and internationally and is supported by the American Association of Teachers of Spanish and Portuguese, Incorporated. To qualify, students must be in 10th grade or higher, as well as maintain an honor level average in Spanish for at least 3 semesters. It's just another opportunity we can afford our students, Mulligan said. As for the membership process, eligible students will receive a letter and application outlining the guidelines and responsibilities. Interested students will attend an informational meeting to discuss the roles of chapter officers and leadership opportunities, and accepted students will attend the induction ceremony to be honored and receive a certificate. Members who meet the requirements, including completing 4 years of Spanish, achieving volunteer hours, maintaining an honor grade, and demonstrating good behavior and attendance, will be eligible to receive a cord to wear at Honors Night and graduation. Among other business items on the agenda, the board also approved the purchase of 8 new Apple MacBooks, which Superintendent Tom Mulligan described as replacements for some of the teachers' current MacBooks costing $9,500. The board also approved a few changes for the 2024-26 school year course offerings for the high school. BSAA plans will be available for 10th through 12th graders and is 1 semester. The course is designed to reinforce and extend students' understanding of science by associating basic scientific principles and concepts with relevant applications in agriculture, according to the course description. Horticulture is also offered on odd years as a one-year course. This advanced course offers instruction in both the greenhouse portion, production, and landscape areas of horticulture, said the course description. Finally, ag leadership is being downgraded from one-year course to one-semester course. Brad Ingram, owner of the Country Learning Center, addressed the board at the beginning of the meeting regarding a potential partnership between his company and the school. The Country Learning Center Agricultural Training Program, or the CLC-ATP, grants hands-on learning and enriching real-world experiences to interested high school students. Ingram said he wants to use these experiences to form a relationship between agriculture, education, and future employment. Ingram explained that the program could be broken down into three phases: livestock, advanced agriculture, and pathfinder. The livestock phase would include basic education of how to take care of livestock. The advanced agricultural phase would be education about equipment management. And finally, the pathfinder phase would include specialized training in key areas such as small engine repair and obtaining a CDL. Ingram reported that he currently had four students enrolled in the program working in two area farms. He also said he has graduated three from the program previously who all have full-time jobs in the agriculture industry. The board discussed the opportunity later in the meeting and ultimately decided to pursue a partnership that worked for everyone in the future. The non-certified staff seniority list, second reading of press policies from October 2024, and that of the board destroys old recordings older than 18 months were all approved as well. Elementary school principal Amber Behrens reported that teachers discussed how to better plan for standard-based instruction and assessment at their teacher institute on January 3rd. A lot of good came out of it, Behrens said. Behrens also noted that she celebrated the Students of the Month by visiting each classroom to present the award for their December character trait, empathy. She also reported themed dressing up days, movie theater visits, class parties, and a visit from Santa to round out the semester. Junior/senior high school principal Nick Lindsay said that the staff worked through data from surveys and testing during their teacher institute day. Staff also looked over course offerings and college and career readiness planning. "We got to look at data which we don't do enough of as a staff," he said. Lindsay also noted a successful first day back after the snow days, with the day being capped off with a second semester kickoff. At the end of the meeting, the board approved the employment of Nancy Branson as early childhood special education teacher for full time. The next article, Newman City Council, approve 1% sales tax pass on grocery tax, by Ben Crane. The Newman City Council approved a 1% sale tax effective July 1st. The council discussed a change at last month's meeting, having concerns about motivation behind a potential adoption. A grocery tax was also discussed. As a result of the discussions, the sale tax was approved while the grocery tax was not, which is proposed to be 1% as well. Most council members had concerns about already rising grocery prices. The council opened bid regarding a new generator for the old school building as well as a new gymnasium floor. Finally, a resident had concerns about installing solar panels on his property within city limits. Mayor Dennis Kibler noted that there were no ordinances in place that restricted the use of solar panels. And the last front page article, it was a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Barb Adam reflects on the late Jimmy Carter's inauguration, by Ben Crane. In January 1977, Barb Adams was given the rare opportunity to participate in President-elect Jimmy Carter's inauguration, a momentous event that would mark the beginning of a new era in American politics. For Adams, a woman deeply embedded in the fabric of her community in Arcola, the experience was not just a historic footnote, but a life-defining moment that she would cherish forever. Adams, along with her late husband, Tom Cox, was invited to participate in the inaugural parade as part of the 7th Illinois Cavalry, a reenactment group based out of Springfield. The cavalry reached out to Adams and her husband, knowing they owned historic Civil War era military ammunition wagon and a military hearse, as well as Clydesdales, all of which would contribute to the pageantry of the parade. The head of the cavalry called and said they had been invited to the inaugural parade for Jimmy Carter. He asked if we could bring a couple of teams with us, Adams recalled. We thought it was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, so we decided to go. Tom took vacation time and we got a little help from the bank and the Chamber of Commerce for fuel. What began as an exciting invitation soon turned into an unforgettable adventure. Adams and her family braved the bitter cold in mid-January, leaving Arcola at 10 below zero and heading toward Washington, D.C. Although the weather didn't improve much upon their arrival, the warmth of the experience they were about to partake in was undeniable. Once in Washington, the group had the chance to explore some of the nation's most iconic landmarks. "We had dinner at the officers' quarters in Arlington, which was just amazing," Adams said, her voice still filled with awe. "We got to see the cemetery, and it was all so surreal." As the big day approached, members of the 11th, 7th Illinois Cavalry Many were dressed in full Civil War regalia, made their preparations for their role in the parade. Adams, who managed to squeeze in some rest for her children in the back of the wagon, also made sure the transport signs for the bank and the Chamber of Commerce showcasing her community support for the historic event. What made the encounter even more special, however, was the way in which the Carters interacted with the parade participants. The whole experience was so neat, Adams said. We got to meet Jimmy and Rosalind Carter, as well as their daughter, Amy. They were so gracious, so down to earth. It was touching to know that we were there shaking hands with an incoming president. It was a moment I'll never forget. Although Adams herself was not in the parade, she just so happened to find herself in a position to see the Carters begin to walk the parade route. The limousine pulled up right in front of us, no more than 20 feet away, Adams said, reminiscing. They got out, and it was just surreal. They were right there. We were right there watching them walk down the parade route, and then Amy, who was a young girl at the time, picked up a snowball to throw at her dad. The Secret Service instantly grabbed her and took the snowball away. My kids thought it was hilarious. The moment was not just memorable for Adams, but for her children, who had carried the legacy of that day with them through the years. My kids and grandkids still ask me about it, Adams shared. We were just looking through old photos the other day, and my daughter was thrilled to find pictures of the parade. It was a big deal, and it's something we talk about all the time. The impact of the inauguration didn't stop with the Carters' graciousness, Adams. Adams and her family became part of a larger community of individuals who had experienced something truly unique. In the years since the Carter administration has maintained contact with Adams and others who participated in the parade, including extended invitations to other important events such as the funeral of Rosalind Carter. Every now and then they stay in touch, Adams said, her voice reflecting the warmth of long-lasting friendships. When Rosalind passed, we were invited to her funeral in Plains, Georgia. They made an effort to keep the connection alive. The experience also left Adams with a deep sense of pride and a reminder of the significance of the opportunity she had been given. It was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and not many people get invited to Washington, D.C. for something like this, she said. It makes you feel proud to be part of something bigger than yourself. As president, Jimmy Carter's commitment to humanitarian causes and human rights left a profound legacy. He was known for his efforts to promote peace around the world, addressing global poverty, advocating for human rights, and creating initiatives such as Habitat for Humanity. Even after leaving office, his dedication to humanitarian work continued through the Carter Center, where he worked tirelessly on projects aimed at improving health and fostering democratic governments globally. His leadership, both during and after his presidency, left an indelible mark on the world stage, further elevating the significance of events like his inauguration that brought people together in a spirit of hope and unity. Adams' unforgettable experience didn't end with the parade. She and her husband were also invited to Carter's inaugural ball, a glamorous affair that included a memorable twist. I'd forgotten my nice shoes to go with my long dress, Adams laughed, so I ended up wearing my cowboy boots to the ball. Reflecting on that unforgettable January day and evening, it's clear that the inauguration was more than just a historical event for Adams. It was a personal milestone, a memory woven into the fabric of her life that she continues to carry with pride. In her words, it was awesome, simply awesome. We'll move out of the obituaries. Janine Fortney. Janine Aldridge Fortney, 88, formerly of Tuscola, passed away peacefully at Carle Foundation Hospital on January 10, 2025. Memorials are suggested to the North Ward Reading Program. Services celebrating her life will be held at a later date. Hilligoss Schrader Funeral Home is assisting the family. Gerald J.P. Quinn, a beloved individual known for his kind, loving, and caring personality, walked through Heaven's Gates on January 10, 2025. A celebration of J.P.'s life will be held at J.R.'s Lounge in Villa Grove on Saturday, January 18th from 1 to 3 p.m. Donations can be made directly to Joyn's Funeral Home to assist the family with funeral expenses. Michael Ray Powell, 77, of Lovington, died Wednesday, January 8, 2025 at Springfield Memorial Hospital with his family and two sons by his bedside. Funeral services will be held at 11 a.m. on Saturday, January 18th at the Lovington Christian Church. Visitation will be from 9:30 to 11 a.m. prior to the service. Burial will be in the Keller Cemetery, Lovington. Memorials may be made to the Lovington First Christian Church or Lovington Ambulance Service. McMillan Young Funeral Home is in care of arrangements. Carol Jean Kerwin, 87, of Ivesdale, passed away on Tuesday, January 7, 2025 at 10:44 a.m. at her residence in Ivesdale. Funeral Mass was celebrated on Saturday, January 11th at St. Joseph Catholic Church, Ivesdale. Father Patrick O'Neill and Deacon Jim Brewer officiated. Visitation was held prior to the service on Saturday at the church. Burial was in St. Joseph Catholic Cemetery, Ivesdale. Memorial contributions may be made to the St. Joseph Catholic Church. Monroe L. Yoder, 77, of Indianapolis, Indiana, passed away Sunday, January 5, 2025, at his residence. A service was conducted on Friday, January 10th at Sunnyside Mennonite Church, Arcola, with a visitation prior to the service at the church. The Edwards Funeral Home assisted with local arrangements. Additional visitation took place on Thursday, January 9th at Greenwood Baptist, Bible Baptist Church, Greenwood, Indiana. Burial followed the service at the Arthur Cemetery in Arthur. Lethia Blanche Newman, 87, of Terre Haute, Indiana, passed away on January 3, 2025, at Westminster Village in Terre Haute, Indiana. She was the eldest child of four, born on April 27, 1937, in Fort Wayne, Indiana. A visitation will be held on Saturday, January 11th, from 10 to 11 a.m. at DeBown Funeral Home, 85 East Spring Hill Drive, Terre Haute, Indiana. A funeral service will start at 11 a.m. at the funeral home with Pastor Ben Burdick officiating. Burial will follow at the International Order of Odd Fellows Cemetery in Humboldt at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Harlan Hatchell. A celebration of life for Harlan Ray Hatchell will be held Saturday, January 18th at the American Legion, 14 North Oak Street, Pisotum, from 12 noon to 3 p.m. Harlan, 75, passed away December 1st, 2024. Join us and share your memories of our brother and uncle. Another article, Senator Rose marks the start of the 104th General Assembly back in the Senate chamber, Springfield, Illinois. The Illinois General Assembly convened for its 104th biennial session on January 8th, marking the start of a new legislative term. Senator Chapin Rose, Republican of Mahomet, joined his colleagues at the state capitol for the inauguration, marking a day of reflection and a fresh start for Illinois lawmakers. "We have a lot of challenges to face in the new General Assembly," said Senator Rose. "It's good to be back, but let's not forget Governor Pritzker, by his own admission, has dug us into an over $3 billion budget hole, and that is just his numbers. The state needs to do a lot of things. I'll be introducing legislation dealing with the reality of where the state of Illinois is, in contrast to the extreme progressive leftist policies that have been shoved down our throats of the citizens by Governor Pritzker and his allies." For the first time in years, the Senate returns to its historic chamber following the completion of extensive construction and renovation for inauguration of the start of the 104th General Assembly. The convening of a new two-year General Assembly is time for lawmakers to reflect on the lessons of the past, renew their commitment to finding solutions for current challenges, and embrace new opportunities for Illinois, Rose said. Rose plans to focus on Pritzker's billion-dollar budget, cracking down on immigration, tax relief for families, public safety, parents' rights, election integrity, agriculture, and other local issues. Senator Rose encourages you to share your thoughts on upcoming legislation. Contact the senator via his website, sendchapinrose.com. Another article, Mask and Visitor Guidelines Work to Reduce Spread of Infection at Carle Health, Urbana, Illinois. Carle Health remains committed to creating the safest environment possible to give and receive care. As the respiratory illnesses rates have reached high levels at every part of our coverage area, the organization is taking steps to update personal protective equipment, PPE, and visitor guidelines to reduce the spread of illness among team members and the community. We urge all patients and visitors experiencing respiratory illness symptoms to wear a mask while at care facilities. Additionally, visitors to any Carle Hospital must be 18 years or older and are limited to two at a time in a patient room. The shift will help support a safer care environment in Carle Health facilities throughout the most intense respiratory illness season and work to reduce the spread of infection to team members and those we serve. As we have in previous years during peak respiratory illness season, Carle Health reviews our PPE and visitor guidelines to take every measure possible to limit the spread of infection, Robert Healy, MD, Carle Health Quality Patient Safety and Patient Experience Medical Director, said. "We have an expert team of infection preventionists who continually monitor metrics for diseases like the flu, RSV, COVID-19, and others. This, along with National and State Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, metrics, and industry, provide practices to help us decide when it's time to upgrade our guidelines. Studies have shown the positive impact masks and reducing exposure can offer to lessen the transmission of viral diseases. Taking these temporary measures will help all community members stay well, especially those at most risk like the young, elderly, and immunocompromised." The Illinois Department of Public Health recently issued a recommendation to state healthcare providers to take additional mitigation measures to combat the increasing rates of respiratory illness. These changes are also part of Carle Health's ongoing focus on offering high-quality care and improving health outcomes for patients. "Our care teams continue to encounter an increasing rate of these respiratory infections, so we know firsthand that its national trend is also reflected here locally. With everything you know about how to mitigate the spread of disease, these safeguards will help keep more people in our community well," Dr. Healy said. Carle health experts will continue to evaluate respiratory illness rates in the region and provide an update when levels reach a point where the temporary restrictions can be lifted. In addition to taking steps to reduce transmission while at our facilities, we encourage all community members to remember the mitigation efforts that have been proven to slow the circulation of illness. People should stay mindful throughout the season to maintain good hand hygiene, wear a mask when symptomatic, stay at home when feeling ill, stay up to date on eligible vaccinations to create a healthier community. For more information about visitor guidelines at Carle Health Facilities, visit carle.org. Another article, state to offer Apple Wallets for driver licenses. The Illinois Secretary of State's office is working to bring IDs on Apple Wallet to Illinois residents in the future with the goal of launching by the end of the year, Secretary Alexi Giannoulis announced today. This capability will enable residents to seamlessly and securely add and present their driver's licenses and state IDs in person and in apps using their iPhone or Apple Watch. The news follows legislation that took effect at the beginning of the year, which enabled the Secretary of State's office to begin this work. The plan includes robust testing requirements to ensure the office delivers the most secure and private product for Illinois residents, Giannoulis said. We're excited to have kickstarted our work with Apple, a company that shares our commitment to data security, to provide IDs and Apple Wallet that will provide convenience and privacy for Illinoisans, said Giannoulis, whose office pushed for the legislation enabling the development of mobile driver licenses and state IDs in Illinois. This is the first component of a multifaceted approach to deliver a state-of-the-art mobile driver's license and state ID program that leverages best-in-class technologies for residents. Once the program launches, driver's licenses and state IDs in Wallet will provide an easy and more secure way for Illinoisans to present their identification. Users will have the ability to add their driver's license or state ID to Wallet and simply tap their iPhone or Apple Watch to present it in person without taking out their physical card or handing over their device. The office has set up a setup page for Illinoisans to receive updates about the mobile driver's license and state ID program when IDs on Apple Wallet become available for anyone. Anyone interested can visit www.il.sos.gov/MDL to sign up. Mobile driver's licenses and state IDs will not be mandatory and will serve as a companion rather than a replacement to a physical card. Presenting an ID on Apple Wallet will allow for more security and privacy than presenting a physical card. Using Apple Wallet, what only information needed for the transaction is presented, and the user has the opportunity to review and authorize the information being requested with Face ID or Touch ID before it is shared. This means that a mobile driver's license or ID holder can provide proof of their age, legally purchasing alcohol, or renting a car without sharing other personal information, like their address. Illinois joins 10 states and territories that have adopted IDs on Apple Wallet, including Arizona, Colorado, California, Georgia, Hawaii, Iowa, Maryland, New Mexico, Ohio, and Puerto Rico. Giannoulis also expects to bring mobile driver's licenses and IDs to additional digital wallets such as Google Wallet for Android users in the future. HB 4592, which enabled the Secretary of State's office to begin the process of developing mobile IDs in Illinois, was sponsored by State Representative Cam Buckner, 26th District, Chicago, and State Senator Michael Hastings, 19th District, Frankfort. The bill is part of Giannoulis' commitment to modernizing the office while getting up to speed with other states that have already secure mobile driver's license and state ID programs in place. 100 People Who Care Group Hears from Grant Recipients by Marty Yeagle. A group of shareholders in 100 People Who Care, a fundraising arm of the District No. 305 Education Foundation, met last week at Los Gallos Restaurant to share some time together and hear from two of the foundation's grant recipients. Each year, the Education Foundation gives grants up to $500 to those teachers in the district who apply for and whose needs qualify them. The grants go for many things, such as biotechnology equipment, sensor-friendly additions to the classroom, math resources, special ed, novel books, speech curriculum, late-lifting equipment, joust reading, and night reading, among other things that aren't funded by the school budget. Gabrielle Morrow, who is a preschool teacher at Lovington Grade School, used her grant money for family engagement for her preschool classes and their families. At the end of October, she took all of her preschool students to Aikman Wildlife Adventure. She invited parents and younger siblings to go along as well, and there were about 45 altogether who participated. Gabrielle shared what an enjoyable experience this was for all. Many had never been and might not have the opportunity to go otherwise, and one parent admitted they did not even know about Aikman's. The staff of the park was very friendly and helpful, and the families enjoyed all Aikman had to offer, including a wagon ride, petting zoo, and the dinosaur museum. They then came to Eberhard Park in Arthur to enjoy lunch and some time together. Gabrielle also incorporated a study of the different animals they were going to see in her classroom before the trip. Emily Crossman was one of the kindergarten teachers at Arthur Grade School. Emily used her grant money for a couple of items. One of them is what she referred to as marker boards for each student. These are much like individualized dry erase boards, but what makes them ideal is the markers and erasers are attached to the board, so there's no scrambling to find the various pieces, making it easier for the students to keep track of and use these learning tools. She also bought a camera that allows her to project a worksheet onto the classroom smart board so the students can follow along with their own worksheets with what is projected on the screen. Some in attendance said it sounded like an overhead projector many grew up with. Emily found both of these items to be very useful in her classroom. Both teachers expressed just how grateful they are not only to the school district for their support, but extended a special thanks to the District 305 Education Foundation for supplying them with the money for these extra tools and activities that otherwise would not have been available to them. The Education Foundation not only funds teacher grants, but also senior scholarships each year, plus scholarships for Leaders Innovating for Tomorrow, LIFT, program offered to ALAH high school students. If you would like to be part of this and support our students and teachers, you too can be one of the 100 people who care. We know there are easily at least that many who care about our students and schools out there. A $200 your donation per year makes you a shareholder in the foundation. You'll have the opportunity as well to hear how the teachers use their grant money at meetings. Each year in April, we have a meeting where dinner is provided by the foundation as a thank you to the shareholders. For more information, check out the Facebook page for 100 People Who Care, LAH, District number 305 and District number 305 Education Foundation. You can also call the school superintendent's office at 217-543-2511. Another article, Gesswein named top ag real estate service for 2024. Gesswein Farm and Land, GFL, is received Agribusiness Review's top agricultural real estate service provider award for 2024. This award is in recognition of GFL's stellar reputation and trust among customers and industry peers. GFL was the top choice for the award, followed an exhaustive evaluation by an expert panel at C-level executives, industry thought leaders, and Agribusiness Review's editorial board. "We are grateful to be recognized by our peers, industry leaders, and Ag Business Review," said Johnny Clem, co-owner. "We value not only our team members, but the community at large, which includes farming families within Indiana, Illinois, and Michigan. GFL specializes in farm and asset management, appraisals, tailored consulting, and land investment planning, and works to provide farm owners with the highest returns for their lands. Clem and his team foster long-term partnerships, guiding clients through the complexities of farm management and helping them prepare for the future, often working with farmland owners years before they decide to sell, offering expertise during every step of the journey. People's Bank and Trust recognized Mark Spainauer for volunteerism with the Arcola Foundation. "As a community bank, People's Bank and Trust recognizes the value of volunteerism in our communities," the company said. "To recognize, commend, promote, and encourage volunteerism, People's Bank and Trust has established a program to recognize outstanding community members for their volunteer efforts to improve our community. People's Bank and Trust recognizes Mark Spainauer as their Volunteer of the Quarter for his leadership and work with the Arcola Foundation over the years. The Arcola Foundation is a nonprofit organization which provides scholarships to students in Arcola and other high schools in Douglas County, as well as provides financial support to community projects. The Arcola Foundation now consists of more than 20 funds, which are administered for the benefit of educational, charitable, or benevolent enterprises in Arcola. The Arcola Foundation was originally formed in 1975 when two officers of the First National Bank of Arcola, Jerry Stout, then vice president and trust officer, and Joe Monahan, president, were discussing ways to help the Arcola community. It has now been in existence for almost 50 years, and due to the generosity of its benefactors, has grown to assets of more than $6.3 million. The Board of Governors consists of 7 members, all of who are appointed and are volunteers. They meet once a month and more if needed to review the monthly financial positions and act on any requests received. That is all we have time for this week. This is Chris Yerke saying goodbye and see you again next week.